Hi, this is Venice from Blog Games, where we are building a player network powered by on-chain gaming identities to help solve scalability issues for mobile games. And you're tuned in into the edge of NFT, your choice of for learning about the best communities in the Web3. Let's keep listening.
Hey, Web3 Curious listeners, stay tuned for today's episode to learn how this company got strategic partners like The Gods and Pixelmon to join their community, and how you can earn points in this ecosystem to participate in an upcoming airdrop. And finally, why Nike's Just Do It slogan has been so influential to today's guest. Stay tuned and let's cue the intro.
Welcome to The Edge of NFT, the podcast that brings you the top 1% of Web3 today and what will stand the test of time. We explore the nuts and bolts of the business side and also the human element of how Web3 is changing the way we interact with the things we love. This podcast is for the dreamers, disruptors, and doers who are pumped about this ecosystem and driving where it goes next.
Welcome to The Edge of NFT, the podcast created by Jeff Kelly, Ethan Jenny, and Josh Krieger, featuring a variety of top-notch guests and other hosts like myself, Richard Carthon. It's another production of The Edge of Company, a quickly growing media ecosystem empowering the pioneers of Web3, tech, and culture, and responsible for other groundbreaking endeavors like Outer Edge LA Innovation Festival. Today's sponsored episode features Ben Baltre-Mayunes, who is the co-founder of Block Games in Halo.Rent. With a background in predictive analytics at Nike, he leverages expertise to revolutionize user acquisition strategies. His leadership and dedication into the space help Block Games reshape user acquisition dynamics and foster community-driven gaming experiences worldwide. Block Games is a Web3 gaming company that revolutionizes user acquisition through decentralized mechanisms. Founded in partnership with Estoy, it offers Shatterpoint, a high-octane RPG game in the Block Games player network, which now has more than 200,000 signups. This cross-chain, cross-game platform incentivizes player engagement, fostering community-driven experiences, and reshaping the gaming landscape. It's an honor to have you on the show today, Ben.
Hey, Richard. Excited to be also here. Great to be here and excited to meet you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, looks like you just recently spent some time at NFT Paris with Pixelmon. How was that experience?
It was a good experience. We've hosted an event for both of our communities. So it was a first event, which we did in IRL, real life, together with Pixelmon after multiple collaborations in a digital space. And I can agree that it went well. So we had an event space on the second day of the NFT Paris official conference. We had a beautiful view to the Eiffel Tower and we had lots of drinks and fun. So that was a blast.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And again, congratulations on your 200K strong for February. I mean, you're growing, a lot of exciting things coming up, but you know, I first want to like dive into you a little bit. So like, can you just give us like, how did you even get into the world of Web3?
Sure. So I think it all started back more than 6 years ago. So myself and my co-founder Kypros, with whom we've been building multiple companies throughout all of those 6 years, once we met in London while doing our core jobs, we were just fascinated by various innovations. And one of the innovation areas we were passionate about was Web3. Although instead of starting a Web3 startup, we decided to solve some real problems first, and we started a real estate tech company called HaloRent, which was a platform similar to Airbnb, just for long-term rentals. So we did that for 4 years, and once we exited, we decided this time we're going to really follow our passion. So we picked gaming and Web3, but our interest into Web3 space has never stopped from the day once we started building our first startup. We were always keen learners. We were following the innovation areas, and once we saw the whole ERC 721 contract spiking up, we really thought there is a big opportunity in gaming. It just made sense, and we decided to step in. So that's where Block Games was born.
That's awesome. So, you know, years into the space, starting in real estate, then getting over into the technology of blockchain, especially blockchain gaming. So, you know, being here long enough, we've seen peaks and valleys, bull runs, bear markets. But ultimately, when you think about product, when you think about gaming into Web3, there was a lot of opportunity in ways that it could be improved. So can you kind of first like give us an overview of like, what is blockchain games player network and why did you start it?
Sure. So actually, Block Games player network was started as our second product. after we went into the space. So our initial venture was a mobile game. So we saw a big gap in the market that a lot of Web3 games popping at that time when we were starting in 2021 were all we were all looking more like financial instruments rather than actual fun games. So after partnering with Stati, which is a mobile game studio based out of the Baltics, we had a very clear plan to create a fun, engaging mobile game where we would hide all of the Web3 functionalities under the hood, and we would enable interesting experiences by leveraging the technology of blockchain. So that's how we've started, actually, in the blockchain gaming space. But very quickly, at the moment of publishing that game, we realized that the problem was much bigger to fry. So that game is still undergoing, and we haven't yet fully launched it. That game is going live later on this year. And that game has partnered with Big Time Publisher, if you know the brand. We've realized that the problem related to user acquisition was much bigger, and it has been affecting not only Web3 games but also traditional mobile games out there for the last few years. The problem was rooted directly into the data storing of users, because privacy policies evolving by App Store and Google Play have been bringing data ownership back into the hands of the players. But that data limitations have been affecting mobile game publishers, advertisers, and ad networks alike, creating sustainability and creating monetization and scalability challenges. So that's how Blogins was born, as a solution to help overcome these challenges by bringing ownership data into the hands of the players, into their online profiles, but also allowing those players to share that data in exchange for rewards with the games and other parties. That's Blog Games.
No, that's awesome. And I mean, it's a tool that is clearly resonating with a lot of people. Again, you know, over 200K signups and bringing in some pretty cool communities. One of those communities is Degots. And so shout out to them. Last time we hang out with Frank was out in Korea Blockchain Week. We had a really cool conversation about like community building and why it matters towards even things such as gaming. And so, congrats on, getting them into Block Games. But, tell us more about some of these other OGs and why they joined and how they're resonating with the Block Games ecosystem.
Sure. So, I mean, we have a spectrum of partners, and our positioning from day one for Block Games was that we don't have any borders. We are cross-chain and cross-game, meaning that we are attributing not only like on-chain data but also off-chain data, and also that's the same view we're taking from the community's perspective. I mean, Web3 is all about community, and it's all about flourishing that community and bringing ownership capabilities to the community, because if the community is strong, you can build great things in the space. And our approach has been very much through open partnerships. So we partnered with Degots, we partnered with Pixelmon, we partnered with Grapes, and a bunch of other big names in the industry, as well as partnering with all of the key gaming chains, from Avalanche to Arbitrum to Base, Ethereum, Polygon, and et cetera. Building this hub and building this community that allows us to scale our infrastructure layer, because Block Games, what really is actually an infrastructure layer. Yes, players have a front application to access their data and rewards, but really under the hood, we are trying to scale to as many communities, to as many games as possible, to as many chains, to get as much information as possible around the players, so we could then enable all of these value-driven unlocking experiences.
That's awesome. And again, being able to bring on these communities with partnerships is incredible. And one of the other things that you're doing to kind of grow in a very powerful way is to extend your referral program beyond, dice holders. How did the community respond to this, and why did Block Games make that strategic choice?
Sure. So from the beginning, we kept the product closed. So our go-to-market strategy was that we've launched a collection of dices, of which 5,555 have been distributed into the hands of the end users, players, and all of those have been then distributed to our biggest earlier supporters from day one, and they have been helping us grow the community. We wanted to build the community for our earlier supporters, so we wanted to give back most to them who have been with us from day one. So we've built up this referral strategy that all of the DICE owners who were inviting their friends and their network of friends, we were getting more of the rewards because we were early. And actually, this strategy actually rolled out. So we kept the application closed until February beginning, and we've grew actually to over 100,000 users without a single spend on UA, just through referrals. But also, we are valuing that factor so much that earliest members of the community need to be rewarded the most. Because they are your biggest ambassadors.
A quick word from our sponsors who's ready to navigate the cutting edge of tomorrow's legal landscape. Because at Zuber Lawler, they're not just attorneys, they're visionaries. With expertise in emerging technologies like AI, blockchain, and the metaverse, they're paving the way for you to seize the future. For mergers and acquisitions to IP, their selective team delivers strategic solutions tailored to the ever-changing world of technology. Join us at Zuber Lawler, where the future meets the law, at zuberlawler.com. Back to the episode. No, definitely. And providing that value to your early people getting in makes them want to, it makes that community strong. It makes them want to refer out other people. It makes them want to bring in more people to what is being, you know, built over at Block Games. And one of the other incentive kind of programs that are possible are airdrops. So we imagine that the weekly airdrop that is an event that your community is very excited and passionate about. Can you kind of walk us through how our listeners potentially can be able to participate in that?
Yeah, sure. So airdrops, I would say that it's just one of the angles which are added as one of the features within the application. And airdrops, yes, they help incentivize our existing users or reward our existing community of players for various actions. And again, for helping grow the player network and helping invite their friends. So we've launched the airdrop functionality across a few focus areas. So one area was to reward the users who are engaging most in the product. And the second part of the airdrop was to engage the users who are helping most on the social frontier. So helping us basically bring the name of Block Games to as many viewers as possible. So scaling the reach. And airdrop since launch in January has been a successful mechanic to help us scale. But I would like to also mention that aside of airdrop, we are also delivering value for our core loop of the product. And that loop is players delivering data or writing data into their profile and receiving rewards in exchange from various games or sponsored by the Block Games treasury. And we've distributed over close to $100,000 in rewards, while our players have contributed over a few $100,000 in value to the partner games who we've been to and played. So I think airdrops are a good mechanic to help scale and strengthen the model, but the core loop also needs to work, and I'm gladly sharing that core loop is working.
Yeah, definitely. The core of it definitely needs to be there, and the value has been there. Because, again, talking about to your early users of the platform, the DICE NFT holders are getting all kinds of benefits during the airdrop season, which you've already said is like translated into hundreds of thousands worth of value that's gone back. But, you know, for people who are listening to this and potentially want to come in and participate, like how can users earn points during this airdrop season?
Sure. So users can actually go to our website, bloggames.com, and we can download the application, which is available on Google Play, or use the link for the iOS devices. So we can save the application directly on their home screen, on their phone. And after signing up, they're very they can be able to see a UX directing them into the airdrop section, where we can then start engaging with the product. We can complete their profile, start engaging in the product and playing games, or we can help us on the social frontier by performing tasks related to the socials. So those, the entire airdrop is available within the application, and the application is accessible from our website. So it's not too late to start. We're still quite some time before the DGE, and you're more than welcome to join and experience the Blogging Spare Network.
That's awesome. And so, of course, for a lot of the airdrop listeners out there, you heard it here. You can go get active as quickly as you want. But to kind of shift gears just a little bit with you, Ben, I'm also curious about lucky rolls. So, like, what are lucky rolls, and how does this align with Block Games' overarching objective to achieve widespread adoption?
Cool. So, lucky rolls are waitlist codes. So basically, lucky rolls are a gamified code which the community can win through various activations, or each dice owner who holds our signature dice collection NFT has pre-attached lucky rolls to their dice that we can use. And primarily, lucky rolls are your ticket entries into the Block token presale, which is going to take place at the end of March. So we launched Lucky Rolls quite a few weeks ago, and already over 15,000 of them have been already distributed and are being shared among the friends. So we can pass Lucky Rolls to each other, and Lucky Rolls act as on a first-come, first-serve lucky allocation. Each Lucky Roll has a lucky chance attached, every single community member who wants to participate in the Block token presale can join through the lucky roll, or by buying a dice, which then guarantees you a guaranteed allocation in the Block token presale.
Got it. Thank you for explaining that. So you already got plenty of people participating, and I'm sure you're going to have more coming as you know, this exciting time is arising. But, you know, obviously, it's fun times in the world of Web3. Markets booming again, back above well over 2 trillion, Bitcoin going on its most recent tear. Just looking at like what's to come just in the Block Games ecosystem, what can users expect this upcoming year?
Sure. So I think a few of the things. So Block Games Pair Network is a layer which is issuing on-chain universal player profiles. So we are delivering a universal player profile on-chain in Q2, where each player will be able to see and interact with their own data, as well as see how much data we are writing into on-chain, or how much data we are allowing others to read about the players in exchange for the rewards. So that's the next big milestone, which we're launching in Q2, followed by the token, which is going live in early Q2, and it will act as the medium of exchange. So token will be added as an additional reward into the universal player profile. So for those who are building their profiles and are writing a lot of data while engaging with a lot of applications which are connected to the Block Games Player Network, will be able to receive a block token as an additional reward. Whilst we are right now just solving the cold start problem, because in order for us to build a very successful and scalable player network, we need to issue as many universal player profiles as possible to achieve this minimal threshold for other applications to start building. So we have actually a few more initiatives and a few more products currently in development that will be launched throughout the end of the year. That will have also a different angle on solving a specific problem for mobile game publishers, and will act as another form of issuance of universal player profile. So right now, this year, we are all heads down on trying to issue as many universal player profiles as possible by doing as many partnerships with various mobile games in Web2 and in Web3 as possible, as well as other synergic partners and communities to build and scale this player network that would allow us to then enable third-party applications to start building on top of the player network and unlock and start unlocking value-add experiences, like personalized gaming in the games, personalized monetization, esports, esports reputation systems, feedback testing tools, and our user acquisition or engagement tooling. So we are just getting started, and this year is actually for us to make the entry scale of building the Blog Games Player Network infrastructure.
Yeah, that's so cool. And for everyone listening, you know, obviously you can either try to get into this community, or you can try to figure out how you can be a partner, because it sounds like Block Games has a lot coming up and has a lot of momentum that's being built. But Ben, as we kind of wrap up this session of the conversation, I'm just, you know, there's an age-old question that kind of keeps resonating with me that I'll always like, you know, takes on as it relates to blockchain gaming. But do you think blockchain gaming will ever replace or be more popular than traditional gaming?
Good question. To be honest, I think blockchain gaming is a niche segment on its own because of the way of the mechanics it carries with itself. And those mechanics are financial mechanics, which make the game feel and look a bit differently compared to, you know, like the rest of the free-to-play games out there which exist today. So I think that blockchain gaming is building its own subcategory in the overall gaming space, same as, you know, like social casino games, for example, or Match Free or any other type, which are unique to themselves and are offering different play styles and capabilities. So that is currently being right now explored, and there are plenty of games launching, building, still yet to be published, and I think we are still yet to see a very successful IP which will scale this segment. And as if you look right now back into 2010, when free-to-play gaming started with the rise of the phone, of the mobile phone, free-to-play gaming was never understood by the mobile game devs and the entire industry, because nobody imagined how a free-to-play game could be monetized. But it turned out to be one of the most successful ways of monetizing games by onboarding masses, because what free-to-play did was onboarded new frontiers of players who the gaming industry initially didn't even have or understand we had, because we suddenly tapped into moms and dads and various younger generations for who games were free-to-play. And I believe the same thing is happening also with blockchain gaming, because I think we are here also to unlock a different group of people, a different segment of people who are right now young. We are right now in school, and we are all are experimenting with these new games and new IPs which are being published. And I think that's the generation we're going to grow with the blockchain gaming, rather than not turning all of the existing players from Fortnite or, you know, like PUBG or RuneScape or World of Warcraft to try and come over into the blockchain gaming, because we're all used to the existing experiences which are built there today. So I believe that this new segment is building on its own but I also see a synergic way where some of the free-to-play games are starting to adopt blockchain technology. But not primarily through tokens, but more through tokenized digital assets or digital collectibles, more through the ownership angle, because it just simply makes sense. My thinking there is that free-to-play games who have 90% of the players of non-paying users, we can very quickly make them vested and make them co-owners of your game by simply giving them a chance to own something which you create for almost no price, just by using your own development resources. But what you suddenly do is that you involve all of those non-payers to become more vested, because we suddenly own something and they determine what that price of that something is. That's a very interesting model, which I think some of the bigger publishers are looking right now at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. I think that right now blockchain gaming is niche, but so is free to play for a long time until they figured it out. But to your point right now, although blockchain gaming is niche, you're starting to see bigger players start to adopt the mechanics, but do it in presenting it in such a way that your end user doesn't necessarily know they're using blockchain, but they know that they now have this new mechanic or this new cool feature that they can use. So I think we have time to get people to have the norm be these blockchain mechanisms, but it doesn't mean the gaming itself has to like feel greatly different from, you know, free to play or traditional. I think they all just kind of converge and blend together. So I agree with you on that. And I think that was, again, very, very well said. But Ben, I really appreciate all the insights, excited for all the things happening with Block Games. But now I'm excited to learn a little bit more about you. So now we're about to head into our next segment, which is called Edge Quick Hitters.
NFTLA returns as an inclusive week of community events throughout LA, celebrating the outer edge of innovation.
Builders be building.
There's so much energy colliding around gaming, AI, generative art, the metaverse, decentralized social, and the future of entertainment.
If you want to be in the mix, including the official free NFTLA celebration, visit outeredge.live to subscribe for your updates and RSVP. Edge Quick Hitters are a fun and quick way to get to know you a little bit better. There are 10 questions and we're looking for a short, single, or few word response, but feel free to expand if you get the urge. Are you ready?
Yeah, born ready.
All right, let's get it. So what is the first thing you remember purchasing in your life?
I remember purchasing what are those cards called? Dragon Ball Z cards.
Yeah.
In school. So basically Dragon Ball Z cards were hidden in chewing gum in my school. And I used to buy a lot of chewing gum to try to get all of those stickers who had these hidden cards within them. So yeah, so that's what I recall from my second or third grade.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sidebar, I love Dragon Ball Z, still do. And so love that that's the first thing you bought. On the other side, what is the first thing you remember selling in your life?
Selling? Actually, my first business idea was to sell t-shirts. So basically, me and my buddy, we used to go to these secondary stores to try and to find good clothing. And then we would try to wash them, make them all, you know, clean, and then try to sell them online. So that was our first business idea, which failed. Eventually, we started selling RuneScape accounts, so that that became a bit more profitable.
Wow, full circle. So from t-shirts to like literally creating the Web3 economy and old traditional RuneScape. So like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
What is the most recent thing that you've purchased?
What did I purchase? Right now, trying to recall. Well, I purchased actually... I haven't purchased a lot recently. Just let me think. I purchased a setup for my computer, just for my home work office. I like to have my space ready and clean, like the office. So I purchased a desk and a standing for my computer.
Nice. Yeah, important. Like, especially living in the remote culture that most of Web3 is, it's good to have a good setup in your home residence or wherever people decide to go and work. So completely understand that. But what is the most recent thing that you've sold?
I haven't sold anything personally. Outside of selling as a business, blog games services to other games. So that's probably the most recent thing, but not sure if this counts. From my personal side, what have I sold? What I sold is my first startup, which we started with my co-founder.
Nice. So congrats. Exits are always great, so that it definitely counts. So congrats on that. What would you consider your most prized possession?
Good question. Prized possession. I don't know. Probably this role, which I'm really enjoying the most. I think I've always strived to find myself in an environment which I would just find enjoying the most, but that I would also not doubt, and I would feel that it's the way forward. So yeah, I would say that it's the current role.
Yeah, no, that's awesome to get to a place where, you know, you can be working and having the fulfillment and like be really proud of like what you're working on. So that's really awesome. If you could buy anything in the world, digital, physical, service, experience, etc., that's currently for sale, what would it be?
I would probably buy a, I'm not sure if that's cool, but I would probably buy a summer house somewhere in the woods next to a lake. I really like nature and I love the digital space and I feel very comfortable in a digital space, but I also like to spend weekends in the nature. So yeah, so that would be it. Summer house next to a lake.
No, that's awesome. That's a great answer. Shoot, man. Like you said, we spend a lot of time inside and like I also try to get out as much as I can, especially on weekends. But even being able to have a setup to where like, you know, you work during the day and then like at night or in your evening or even if afternoon for lunch, you want to go outside next to your lake or whatever it is, like that'd be a sick setup. Yeah. Well, if you could pass on one of your personality traits to the next generation, what would it be?
I think don't think, just do it. So I'm kind of that person. I've taken this inspiration from Nike. So I used to work at Nike for 6 years, and we've had this amazing culture of just do it, and it worked. And I've just made my life motto with this.
I like it. Yeah, it's very easy to procrastinate or to find excuses on like why you wouldn't get something done. But if your persona is just like, nope, I'm just do it, just get it done. You're definitely achieving a lot more for sure. So I like that. On the flip side, if you could eliminate one of your personality traits for the next generation, what would it be?
Probably doubting, but that's my personal trait. I doubt myself quite a lot. I think doubting is what, you know, like stops us from achieving. So I think that definitely correlates with the previous question that you asked. Don't think, just do it.
Yeah, no, I like it. You know, I think a lot of people, as they get started and they try to build their confidence, doubt is one of those things that can always linger and like tell you like why you're not good enough or why you can't. Yeah, I think that's one that definitely resonates. So appreciate you sharing that. What did you do right before joining us on this podcast?
Just went for like 10 meetings. It's Monday. so yeah.
Gotcha. And what will you be doing right after the podcast?
5 more meetings. So just getting through the day.
Gotcha. We always like to ask a bonus question. And one of the things that I think would be really interesting to hear from you, since you have a background in Nike, but also do gaming. What do you think about like cross collaborations from the physical to digital? From like what's happening, if like you're doing like something in your virtual world and you can somehow have it be like a virtual asset, like how do you feel like the future towards like that physical interface is going to evolve over time? And now for a quick word from our sponsor before we dive into the next segment. Are you ready to take your sports predictions to the next level? Look no further than MainCard.io, the fantasy management platform that's taking the blockchain world by storm. With MainCard, every card is a ticket to excitement. You can predict sport outcomes, trade cards in the marketplace, and challenge opponents in thrilling weekly duels. And don't wait. Head to MainCard.io now and start earning rewards with your NFTs, because it pays to be early. And now back to today's episode.
I think it's inevitable that this synergy, you know, like becomes closer and closer to us as human beings. And we're also, as human beings, are striving for this digital synergic kind of evolution into our day-to-day lives. We are used to it from the experience that, you know, like we have phones attached to us for the last decade, which we cannot, you know, like leave for a minute or two aside. And I think this interaction of this synergy of digital and physical worlds are just going to happen more and more as we evolve. I think the areas that are interesting a lot from the virtual perspective are relationships. I mean, we already are having relationships with our buddies, friends, all over the world. And, you know, like me and you are having a chat right now across different parts of the world. So I think that that digital integration is gonna take place more, that we will be able to, you know, like have this relationship just built in a much more real way that me and you will feel that we're in the same room, thanks to the digital technology which is coming, but which is actually already existing today, but not for the price point that everybody would be able to have.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think I agree with you that it's inevitable, and I think that there are a lot of unique ways in that things are already being introduced. But I was also just reflecting. So I just got back from ETH Denver and got to connect with a lot of people I've been talking to virtually for a while, IRL. And it wasn't like we like skipped a beat, right? It was just like, because we've already kind of built up that virtual relationship. It wasn't like awkward when we got to meet in person. I like the digital physical side of things, but I think there will continue to be a convergence, and we'll eventually get to the price point that you're talking about that like makes it accessible for everyone. So appreciate that answer. But Ben, as we wrap up here, we always like to have a moment for you to give out shout out. So like this can be to anyone that like you want to give a little bit of recognition to that you don't necessarily always get to. So we'll give you the floor. Who would you like to shout out?
Sure. I think a shout out for this session would be to the entire Block Games team. I mean, we wouldn't be here without their hard work effort, which we have been working together, you know, like since the inception of Block Games, and that's close to 2 years. And the team has, you know, like been exceptional in thinking, delivering, and looking out into the frontiers of what's going to happen over the next 5 years, because what we're building right now is we're building the backbone of the future, because that's what Web3 is.
That's awesome, and I'm sure they're going to be very thankful for that shout out. But for everyone that's listening right now, where can they go to learn more about Block Games and also be able to potentially connect with you?
Sure. So I'm always in the Discord. So you can find Block Games on blockgames.com website, where you can find a quick intro into the project as well as into our roadmap and what's happening. Also, jump into the Discord. I'm pretty active there. So you can always get in touch or follow me on Twitter. So you'll find also me on Twitter by typing in my nickname, Ben Beltram.
Awesome. Well, we definitely appreciate that. Everyone listening, make sure to go check out all those references. But we've reached the outer limit at the edge of NFT for today. Thanks for exploring with us. We've got space for more adventures on the Starship, so invite your friends and recruit some cool strangers that will make this journey all so much better. Hal, if you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now, rate us, and say something awesome. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and pass on the episode on to a friend or two. Lastly, be sure to tune in to the next time for more Web3 content. Thanks again for sharing this time with us. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much. See you next time. Bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of NFT reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. Our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. From time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of those links. Refer to our website, www.edgeofnft.com, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, and privacy policy.